Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Adam Clayton Powell, for the first time, was defeated. Charles Rangel won in a very close election. Within a few years, Adam Clayton Powell would contract cancer and die.
If we must die, let us not die like hogs, penned in some inglorious spot. What use is an extra year or two to the man who kills the time that God has given him?
Much of the story of Adam Clayton Powell is on display here in this anteroom of the Abyssinia Baptist Church. But there are many parts of the Adam Powell story that you cannot see hanging up on the walls, mainly the ironies in his life. Isn't it ironic that Adam Powell was such a loud voice that few people would listen to? Perhaps if his loud voice had been heeded on the question of police corruption, there may not have been a Knapp Commission. If his loud voice about government corruption had been heeded, there may not have been a Watergate. If his loud voice against hypocrisy on Capitol Hill had been heeded, perhaps Wayne Hayes and Tom Dodd and Earl Butz and Carl Albert and countless others might have not have been caught in such embarrassing situations. Adam Clayton Powell represents still another chapter in a long story of black militant fighters against oppression and injustice here in America. He wasn't perfect. He had his faults, but don't we all? The point is, he was a fighter. If he did play He worked harder than he played. Most of all, he was a fighter.
As far as I know here, you're in trouble. Where it says about 30% are unemployed. That's why I'm working hard to get this surplus food here. Some of you say to me, well, I'm not like you. I'm not a congressman. I haven't got education. I haven't got work. But you're a human being. And you know what you've got? You've got in your hand the power to use your vote and to use even those few cents you get from welfare to spend them only where you want to spend them. A young slave boy stood one day before the greatest ruler of his day. And God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, Lord, only I've got a stick, that's all. He said, well, let me use what's in your hand. And God used that slave boy with a stick in his hand to divide the Red Seas, march through a wilderness, bring water out of rocks, manna from heaven, and bring his people to freedom land. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? George Washington Carver, who was so frail that he was traded for a broken-down horse as a slave boy. And George Washington Carver, sitting in the science laboratory at Tuskegee, told me, he said, Dr. Powell, he said, I just go out in the field each morning at 5 o'clock, and I let God guide me. And I bring back these little things and work them over my laboratory, and that man did more to revolutionize the agricultural science of peanuts and of cotton and sweet potato than any other human being in the field of agricultural science. What's in your hand? Just let God use you, that's all. What's in your hand? I've got a string in my hand, that's all, and I'm flying a kite. And way up in the heavens, lightning strikes it, and I, Benjamin Franklin, discover for the first time the possibilities of electricity with a string in my hand. What's in your hand? Little hunchback sitting in a Roman jail. I haven't got anything in my hand but an old quill pen, but God says, write what I tell you to write. Paul wrote, I have run my race with patience. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth has laid up for me. What's in your hand, little boy? All I've got is a slingshot. And the enemies of my people are great and big and more numerous than we are. Well, little David, go down to the brook and pick out a few stones and come on back and close your eyes if you want to and pull back that slingshot and let it go. And David killed the biggest enemy, the leader of the giants, against his people, and his people became free, just letting God guide a stone in his hand. And a few years passed, and David is a king. And God says, what's in your hand? He said, I've got a harp in my hand. He said, well, David, play on your harp. And he played, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Man hanging on a cross? I've got two nails in my hand. Father! I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdrawest thyself from me, whither shall I go? And that man, with two nails in his hand, spit history in hair, B.C. and A.D. And what's in your hand tonight, people of Cambridge? You've got God in your hand, and he'll let you win because he's on your side and one with God, always in the majority. So walk with him and talk with him and work with them and stick together and fight together. And with God's hand in your hand, the victory will be accomplished here sooner than you dreamed, sooner than you hoped, sooner than you prayed for, sooner than you imagined. Good night and God bless you.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And mess around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cat. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home, with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right, now, let me, when it comes to what Lamar was talking about, where you built that $5,000 cabin, that includes the solar, really depends on where you can build that type of structure legally. More than likely, that's going to be in a rural location, somewhere out in the country. If you're in a place like Chicago, Boston, Miami, Los Angeles, it will be rare at best that they will allow you to, well, first thing, just the cost of the land in those places, you're not going to find land at, like an acre for $700 or $1,000 or even $5,000 or $10,000. That's the first thing. So, in a larger metro area, it will be very difficult to find inexpensive land. That's first thing. Next thing, but where you can find inexpensive land abundantly, it are in the rural areas. Okay. Next thing with the zoning and the permitting and all that. So, you're not going to have Lamar's house in a large metro area. However, if you go to a rural area, and there are plenty of rural areas. There are more rural areas of the United States than there are major, metro areas, urban areas. But here's the thing. A lot of people that their budget says, you know what, you're better off building a $2,000 to $5,000, even a $10,000 house, or even a $20,000 house. That's what their budget is. However, they want, they're addicted, now this is just, I'm using the word addicted, to the comfort and conveniences of a New York City. In New York City, you have a lot of conveniences. You know, if you want to take the bus, they got bus transportation around the clock. The city bus, that is. If you wanted to take the subway, the metro, They have options for that. If you wanted to take a taxi or a gypsy taxi, they have options for that too. And, of course, your Uber and your Lyft, you know, the peer-to-peer, you know, apps and whatnot for transportation, that's abundant in a New York or Seattle or Chicago or places like that, San Antonio. Whereas if you go to rural New York, you know, it's difficult, if not almost impossible, to get even an Uber or Lyft. They gravitate towards where the people are. So a lot of, I mean, when it goes, some people grow food. Some people don't want to grow their own food. They want to simply take their money and go to Whole Foods or go to the grocery store and buy their food. Probably 50% of the country. And, you know, look, I'm not going to go that big with it. Let's say a lot of people that are struggling financially, they you can't pull them out of the city. If, matter of fact, you say, look, if you just drive 30 minutes away, there's a surrounding radius of towns, small towns, that you could build a $25,000 house, or you could build a $5,000 house if you're willing to drive 30 minutes away. Some people don't want to drive that 30 minutes to 60 minutes away for whatever reason. So let's go into Friday. We brought up, due to the UAW, we brought up Kit Holmes, because there is, I'm not going to call it a new movement. The element has always existed when the United States got started, even prior to the United States formally getting established. In this country, what we now call the United States, and even around the world, there have always been do-it-yourselfers. I would say, you know, when the Declaration of Independence was signed July 4, 1776, I would say the majority of people back then were if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say 90% of the country, they were do-it-yourselfers. They built their own homes, or they got together with friends or relatives. They didn't need a bank or FHA or VA loan or any kind of special program. They were do-it-yourselfers. You know, the Nine Tapes audio Nine Friends audio that I play from time to time, that was a group of friends that came over with the nine pickup trucks, probably two people per truck, 18 people, 36 hands, including the person who called everybody, 40 hands. So, you know, those are do-it-yourselfers. So do-it-yourselfers still exist. Home Depot, the majority of people, the majority of business that goes into Home Depot, Lowe's, Ace Hardware Store, or your mom and pop hardware store, the few that you do have left, they're do-it-yourselfers, DIYers, do-it-yourselfers. So Friday, when we brought up, Delmar brought to our attention the UAW, United Auto Workers, going on strike, you know, there's a demographic of people, I don't know how big it is, I'm going to have to look it up. Matter of fact, let me see if I can look it up now. That doesn't fit, because there are people out here that build their own cars. Some do it as a hobby, but there are companies around the globe, including right here in the United States, that matter of fact, you know what? I got to look at the statistics since I said, but we're going to soon go into kit houses. Kit houses, because I think activity will pick up more on that as you have more and more people that are out of necessity, that they're joining the DIY crowd when it comes to housing.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless Housing Solutions Designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in, and so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter, you know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping.
Okay, I found at least part of the stat I was looking for. Make sure my mic is open. Okay. Ten DIY statistics shaping the home improvement industry. They say about 73% of millennials, and let's get the ages of millennials. Ages, oops, doggone it, I didn't want that. Ages of millennials. Okay, millennials are currently between the ages of 25 and 40. There's 72 million of them in the United States. Okay. 73% of millennials are DIYers. They're do-it-yourselfers. 73% are do-it-yourselfers. Now, they're the ones building tiny houses. They're the ones doing a whole lot of DIY projects. Let's open up this article. 73%, that's a lot of people, man. Okay, let's see. About 73% of millennials are DIYers. Millennials are leading the DIY sector of the home improvement industry in 2022. Hold on, let's go back to... All right, anyway. They are more active DIYers than homeowners who are Gen X or baby boomers. I believe that. Because Gen X and baby boomers, they like to borrow money. In their vocabulary, they rather apply for a mortgage loan. They're more concerned about their credit score than taking a class on how to build a house or renovate a room or build a garage. That's just the way it is. All right. Which means in general they complete more projects and purchase more products. However, Gen Z is coming into the mix, and they will continue to do so for the next 3 to 5 years. Even now, a significant number of 18 to 24-year-olds are showing the likelihood to complete DIY projects. You know what? And this is – I got to keep this information, all right? Let's see. About 3 in 4 homeowners or DIY. Young homeowners approach projects opportunistically, and younger homeowners are more likely to DIY. So the youngins are the, you know, we can even break this down on, let's see. This explains a whole lot. Let's see, 14% of DIY, do-it-yourselfers forego a purchase when the project is unavailable, whereas Gen X and baby boomers, they use credit. They get what they can afford. Let's see, 77% of DIYers use home improvement store websites for research. 55% of millennials millennial DIYers use YouTube for home improvement information. In other words, they watch a bunch of videos on YouTube to learn how to build that house, debt-free house. 64% of Gen Y, and age of Gen Y. All right, Gen Y is millennials. Okay. Let me get Generation Z. All right, Generation Z is 9 to 24-year-olds. And Generation Z, now the youngest Generation Z I've come across has been 10 years old. Lauren Nelson, who I played her audio on here a few times, she's 12 years old now. She bought a camper and renovated it into a tiny house. They're taking a look at their parents and grandparents, in some cases great parents, and saying, you know what, I'm not getting the FHA loan. I'm not getting the VA loan. I'm not getting that loan. I'm not getting a 30-year mortgage from Bank of America. They're learning these skills. Now, that brings us back to kit housing or homes, the topic that I want to discuss today, which is our business. All right. Kit houses, and I'm reading off of Wikipedia, also known as mill-cut houses, pre-cut houses, ready-cut houses, mail-order homes, or catalog homes, were a type and still are of housing that was popular in the United States, Canada, and elsewhere in the first half of the 20th century. Kit house manufacturers sold homes in many different plans and styles, from simple bungalows to imposing colonials, and supplied at a fixed price all the materials needed for the construction for a particular house, but typically excluding brick, concrete, or masonry stuff. You might get that locally. Some house styles like log cabins, geodesic domes, are still sometimes sold in kit forms, and they're sold every day in kit form, and you can buy that stuff online. Let's see. Delivery and construction. Now, like I say, there's a whole article on this on Wikipedia. Now, we'll be doing kit housing ourselves. We'll be teaching people about this, including kit rooms, kit kitchens, kit bathrooms. These are, you know, whatever your definition of affordable housing is, and empowerment by building. Okay. So that's where the ball is rolling, and the people that Generation Z, when the Generation Z is ages 9 to 24 years old, those are the people on a critical mass basis that are buying that. That's Generation Z. You also have millennials. They're ages 25 to 40. They're do-it-yourselfers to a large degree. All right. Now, the people that are, there's a couple of them, matter of fact, let me look up. I got to look up another statistic here, because I want to get more into the demographics. So let me play this beginning again. Give me 2 minutes to find this other stat.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you. I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in. And so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter, you know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the multi-shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it. And it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200. And it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. So you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5". So, and even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide, approximately, and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you, and uses, I would use 7/16 OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat-style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one off. There we go. Now you can see inside the access panel. Underneath.
Okay, back to Kit Holmes. I was looking up a statistic now. I repeat the statistics I've found so far, that about 73% of of millennials, also known as Generation Y, and Generation Y, also known as millennials, in their ages 25 to 40, about 73% of them are do-it-yourselfers. They'll build a shed, they'll build a house, they'll build a tiny house, they'll build a deck, any type of they'll build a car, because we talked about last Friday, the UAW. I don't know a whole lot about cars, but I don't think the strike will be that long. But there's a whole sector of a global economy that are do-it-yourselfers. They build cars. That's what they do. They're not going into a dealership. So Generation Y people, millennials, 25 to 40, not all, but about 73% of them are do-it-yourselfers. They have no problem going on YouTube, which I call YouTube University, and watching, binge-watching videos, then going buying the materials, the tools, or whatever, and to learn how to build a car or house and everything in between. Then you have Generation Z. Generation Z, 9 to 24 years, 24, you have You have the youngest I've come across, once again, Lauren Nelson, 10, 11 years old. She's 12 years old now. She renovated an old camper into a tiny house with the help of her grandmother, parents, and some of her little girlfriends. There's no shortage of 13, 14, and 15-year-olds building from scratch their own tiny house. Generation Z people are ages 9 to 24. All right. Now, one stat I was looking for, because I was trying to get some demographics here, was on American black folk. Now, the only stat I've ever been able to find so far is in the United States, African Americans, also known as black folks, make up 14.2% of the United States population. Yet only 2.3% have employer-based businesses. Additionally, they say there are about 3 million black-owned businesses without employees and sole proprietorships. All right. So, as Claude Anderson points out, and that's why I play the Claude Anderson piece to start off the program every day, is we consume more, or African Americans consume more than they produce. Nothing wrong with that if you're a consumer, you know. But anyway, we'll do more homework on that. But anyway, I would say, in my opinion, there is a silent bankers' revolt among the buying public when it comes to Generation Y and Z, millennials, and which is Generation Y and Generation Z, which goes down as low as 9 years old, 9 to 24 years old. They're not getting the mortgage loans. They're not getting 30-year mortgages. They're not getting any mortgages. Matter of fact, you know what? I know somebody that just now, there are some exceptions, but they're not getting snowed into that. And even when it comes to cars, because, you know, you have more people that are getting into electric cars, and now you can order your car right online. Now, Florida, where I'm at, the governor, and I don't think he – anyway, it makes no sense what he did. But anyway, in this case, he signed a bill where in Florida, the auto manufacturers, a consumer like you and me listening right now, a consumer cannot order directly a car from a manufacturer and it be delivered in the state of Florida. I don't like that law. However, you can live in Florida and cross the border and go buy a car in Alabama, Georgia, and just drive it back to Florida. So, but what's happening these days is the people at UAW, matter of fact, in my opinion, unions as they now exist are on the verge of they're going away to dodo bird, and they might be one day extinct as we know of them today. Union labor is very expensive, and I'm not bad-mouthing unions. I'm just telling you where it is, because the American public is price conscious. So when people walk into Walmart, including UAW workers, when UAW workers go shopping, a good number of the items that they get, particularly if it's non-food items, are from Asia. The same workers that, matter of fact, if you go inside of their homes and you look at the piping and their plumbing and whatnot, or look at their phones or their electronics, their television sets, their flat screens, the clothes on their back, the linen on their bed, a lot of that stuff, not all of it, was made in Asia. People around the world, including UAW workers or any union workers, are price conscious. I see, like I say, the UAW and other unions, at, in the form that they're in today, going the way of the dodo bird. Auto dealerships with salesmen, floor salesmen as we know them, are going the way of the dodo bird as we speak. Right now, any one of us that are listening to this live stream, you can get on your phone, your laptop, your computer, your tablet, whatever you got. You can go online and order a car pimped out the way you want it to be pimped out and have it delivered to your front door right now. The auto dealership, as we know them, people, is going the way of Dodo Bird. So, like I said, this strike with the UAW, I don't know how long it lasts. I don't think it'll last long. And I'm not bashing unions or nothing like that. But I'm just saying we're in an age of disruption. Airbnb is not going anywhere. This is in over 65,000 cities around the globe. So I'm sure there are apps, and there are probably apps on phone right now. You can download the app to your phone or whatever electronic device you have, and you can order your car with it. Just like you can order anything through an app. That's just the way we are right now. And you're going to have, I can see the proliferation of, if you got skills to make auto repairs, you're going to have people with another app that, you know, if you need a brake job, spark plugs done, transmission, a mechanic will come to your house and in your garage or driveway and repair your car. They're going to become multimillionaires, multimillionaire mechanics that will come to your house and fix your car. The day of you having to go to the dealer, those days, it's the writing's on the wall. And for those who are resisting, remember, eventually every empire falls. Sears is on life support. Kmart no longer here. Border Books no longer here. The Roman Empire lasted 1,000 years and no longer around. The city of Rome is around. But the Roman Empire been gone. Howard Johnson, we might have a few Howard Johnsons left. Bob's Big Boy gone. So they're going to be, their professions that are going to come about or be invented as this UAW strike. Here's what I want you to look out for. Like I said, the strike, no matter how long it lasts, they'll get their raise. They'll come to a compromise and all that. Okay. What I'm saying, there are people out here that see the holes of a union and the earning potential. I'm going to tell you, if I was a mechanic, working for the big three right now, what I would do, I would be, and I'm sure there's some doing it already, I would be speaking to a person who knows how to make an app and make me an app so I don't have to work for Ford, Chrysler, GM. I'm no longer with a union, and I can make more money doing jobs with my app than I can being associated with any union or any of the big three. That's happening as I'm before I even spoke it. It's somebody out there working on that right now. I don't know who they are, but it's somebody out there working on it. Then there's another person out there or persons, they're working on an app, and they don't know nothing about auto mechanics, but they see the opportunity. They see that the unions, as they are now, and the way automakers sell cars, because see it right, auto companies, they really don't need the local franchise dealership anymore. They can cut out the middlemen and just go direct to the customer. Like, I'm sitting in my living room. If I felt I need to get a car, you can do that now. There are people today, it's Monday, there are people that ordered their car last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, on their phone or desktop or whatever they did, and that car is being, that car, if it hasn't already, in some people's cases, it's 11:27, almost 11:30. There's some people that have received their brand new car today and this morning. If it's a surprise birthday present, anniversary gift, engagement gifts or whatever, it's been delivered to a front door with a red ribbon around it. You can do that now on your phone. So like I said, from the UAW thing, okay, they're negotiating for a higher raise. I get that, and I understand that. And well-deserved, whatever you get, you earned it. All right. I'm just saying, particularly if you're somebody in their 20s or 30s or even 40s, and you're with the big three now, and you're a union member now and paying dues now, I think you better really consider getting that app, and whatever you do for the big three now, start your own business, have your own app, and you can make a lot more money with your app, with your business, than you ever could with the union and working for the big three. That's in the making. And that's all part of the DIY community, do-it-yourself community, because there's all type of do-it-yourself. So their jobs now, because it's what, 2023, September, whatever date today is on 2023, their jobs that don't exist today that will come into, that haven't been invented yet, they'll be, some will be created with maybe today, maybe tomorrow. But like social media manager, we all know what that is today. Nobody heard of that 30 years ago. Nobody heard of it 30 years ago. You know, house sitting. When I had, because this show started because of a house sitter that refused to live. House sitting now is a profession. And a lot of the jobs that are being created where people will be earning 6- and 7-figure salaries. Okay. There are no bachelor degree programs in these professions that are being created or have been created already. There's no bachelor degree, bachelor's program, a bachelor of science or bachelor of arts or a master's degree or PhD in house sitting. But go on YouTube and put in house sitting and house sitting university. It exists now. Only, what's that fan that's only fans. Man, you can't go to Harvard or Yale or no Ivy League school and get a degree and be an OnlyFans star or a YouTube star. But there are people knocking down $15,000 to $35,000. Just get to that. Somebody I know, PhD, got fired from a job, but laid off one. Yet there are people on YouTube that haven't even finished high school yet that are earning $15,000 to $35,000 a month on YouTube. So there's no, unless somebody just came up with some. I mean, there's no bachelor's. Who's got a bachelor of science in YouTubing? So. That's why I watch YouTube. Man, I watch about four or five hours of YouTube a day without fail. It's a lifestyle for me because essentially it allows me to see what's happening in real time. Where's the ball going? What the trends are, particularly in what I do. Okay, it's just like with the start of this podcast, it's my house. I came to the realization that the average person that's in court over housing issues, the person who's facing foreclosure and eviction, the common denominator with them is they don't know how to build their own house. That's the common denominator that I found. Some of them are willing to learn how to build it, and some aren't. I'm interested in the ones who will learn how to build it. And then I also pay attention to how people like to learn. You know, a lot of people learn by seeing. A lot more people learn by doing. Anyway, we have our Monday night show. We're going on for the third one. We're working on for October. We want to be on 5 days a week, Boots on the Ground Radio. Boots on the Ground Radio. But we got two more we have to do on Wednesday night, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, out of our Boots on the Ground station out of Jacksonville, Florida. Then we have a Boots on the Ground event on October the 26th. That's a Tuesday. That's next Tuesday. Not tomorrow, but next Tuesday next week from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We have a Boots on the Ground event in Jacksonville where we'll, you know, we do a meet, greet, eat, and then build session because that's where people are at. That's where people are at. And more on that as it approaches. But we have our third show tonight. But we're working on October, because in October we want to go from 1 day a week to 5 days a week on radio. We're able to get on 5 days a week on radio, particularly on the station that we're on right now. Will be, man, in the stratosphere. Okay, let's see. 813, your mic is open, if you're available. All right, they might not be available. Okay, it's... Okay, let me mute that mic. All right, what we're going to do, because it is 11:35, and let's see, well, we got another caller here. 866, your mic is open.
Good morning, L.A. It's Chris. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Chris. Good morning.
Great show. You know, it's... I love the fact you just show people, you know, that DIY, right?
Yep, do it yourself. That's That's a significant niche in the market. And it's not going anywhere. It's always existed, and it's not going anywhere. And, you know, it just ebb and flows. And, you do have – I'm a DIYer because you really can't – it's expensive when you're writing a check, for, you know, for every Tom, Dick, and Harry that, you know, or expense that might come up.
Definitely. There's no doubt. I just wound up this morning. I got a design of a house here. I'm gonna send it over to you via text, and I'll go ahead and post it on the page on Facebook so everybody can see. But I think you'll like this thing here. Is 8'6" wide at the outside walls. It's 8 foot wide on the interior, and it goes up to 13 feet. And it's 25 feet long.
Okay.
And it's on a it's on a trailer frame. I'm adding it to Facebook right now on the DIY page.
Okay, hold on.
Let
me kind of get a... Oh, let me get to my phone here to see if take a look at it. Okay, I'm looking at it. Looks good.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. Kind of looks like a log cabin.
Right.
Which it can have any kind of siding on it, but that's actually one that's been built.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that looks like a log. Well, sort of a modern log cabin. Log cabin on wheels.
Yeah, log cabin on wheels. And it's all metal framed.
Okay.
And I can supply the trailer and the house, and I just wound up, I'm offering that house package that you have to put it together. But it's $5,000.
Right.
Without the trailer frame.
Right. Okay.
So you can put it on a slab, you can do anything you want, but
mm-hmm.
That's the little mile. You can put it on stilts if you want to.
Right.
Park underneath it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a like I said, that's a good looking cabin there. Looks like a what do you call it? A log cabin on wheels.
Yes, that
so
is.
You know what, people? I need to, let me see, dog. All right, thanks, Chris, for calling in. We've got, man, it's not even 12 noon yet, and things are warming up for, tonight's broadcast, so I'm going to shut it down so I can handle that. Everyone have a good rest of the day. See you guys tomorrow.